welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Ruth Browning. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Sends his love. He's busy preaching up in Port Stephens, so I'm excited to be preaching today. And we're starting something different. So we've finished Holy Households, which I loved. And today I want to speak about the God of all comfort. It's one of his names. Who knows that life can be tough? Life can be tough. Jesus said, John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. Or otherwise translated, tribulation, pressure, anguish, persecutions, burdens, distress, afflictions, or oppression. Yay, come on, who's going to claim that today? Let's believe God and the word of God. Let's claim that. But Jesus said it's going to happen. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So we're going to have trouble in this world. That's just the way it is. We're surrounded by demons. There's a devil. Our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, the dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, just above us. I always pray when I get in an aeroplane. Did you know that? Every time. I think I'm going into those realms. I'm going with God. I always lay my hands on the plane before I get in, just at that moment. You're a blessed plane. So we are surrounded in this dark world. God said we will have, Jesus said we will have trouble, and we're surrounded by demons. We're surrounded by sinners who provoke, disturb, and upset us, don't they? Yes. Just reading the news, just looking at the news, just flicking through Instagram can be terrifying sometimes. And then if that's not bad enough, we have to put up with ourselves. I have to put up with myself. We are fragile. We're subject to temptation. We are weak. And we upset ourselves. So life can be tough. Has anyone seen the series Alone? There's a series called Alone, and they get people and they basically plonk them out in the wild. It's all around the world, so they do it in different countries. And they give them a few things, but then they have to fight and they have to get food and they have to hunt things down and they have to be careful because they lose weight and they're cold and they're lonely, and it's really great to watch how people survive in the different situations, especially in the cold ones. I just watched Alone Denmark, and it got so cold that they had to extract them because the people that would come in and check on them couldn't get there fast enough. There was just too much snow. They did it in Finland. And so when they hit minus 20, which I don't know, has anyone ever been in minus 20? I've been in minus 20, yeah. You can't move your mouth because you're freezing so much. It's cold. So, and in Alone Australia, this one woman finally manages to catch a wallaby to eat. They were allowed to catch certain food. So she caught a wallaby and she could, so that she wouldn't, you know, start starving. And then a quoll comes. She dries the meat, carefully stores it. And a quoll, which they're not allowed to kill because they're endangered, would just come into her tent, just like, yeah, yeah, and just take her food. And she's like, argh! And he just would come in all the time, this quoll. Does anyone know what a quoll looks like? It's about so big. It's got spots. And it was just like, she just like, I've gone to all this trouble to get food and now a quoll is eating my food. No one expects a quoll to eat their hard-earned food, do they? And I thought, yeah, that's what it's like. No one expects the crazy neighbour to come and complain that your children are playing out on the street. I'm not saying that it's ever happened to me, but quolls, I think quoll, it's a quoll. No one expects a client to be furious at them when you've done a really good job. That's a quoll, isn't it? It's like no one expects a parent to have a go at you when you've been such a good teacher and you've done everything you can, but their perfect little child isn't maybe so perfect. And the parent thinks it's all your fault, don't they, teacher? They're quolls, bless them. And so that's what it's like. We're on Earth, but we're surrounded by all these problems. We're basically camping on planet Earth. We're not alone, as Hudson said. We have a team, but sometimes we feel like we're alone. It's alone. Planet Earth. And eventually God will come and go, right, come on, that's it. Well, let's go. Long enough on this planet of camping out, trying to get food, trying to deal with all the quolls, dealing with life. It can be really difficult, but it's only temporary. Don't worry. It's not a permanent condition. We're just being filmed for the big movie, you know, when they go, how did they cope? It's a bit like that TV show. But the point is that in all of these troubles, God is our comforter. He wants to comfort us. We often preach about how he wants us to overcome and how he wants us to have victory, and that is true. But he's here for comfort. So let's look at one of these great passages about comfort in 2 Corinthians 1, 5 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That's a name, God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you shall share in our comfort. Comfort in those verses is repeated 10 times, the word comfort. He is the God of all comfort, and he really wants to emphasize there in Corinthians, Paul is emphasizing he wants to comfort you. Think about that. He's the God of all comfort. Think, what do you find comfort? Where do you find comfort? Just that word is comfortable. Think of a cold day and you've been out maybe playing sport or in the garden or working, and come in, you put your UGG boots on, you get a warm fire and a rug and a hot chocolate. That's comfort, isn't it? Or if you've been sick or in pain and then the pain starts to ease and you finally feel like your body works again, it's like, oh, it's comfort. Or getting into your own bed when you have been out camping, or you tried to sleep on an aeroplane, which is the worst. That's comfort. It is comfort, isn't it? And, of course, most of all, when you see a little child and they've fallen over and they're hurting, and then mum, and just that soothing comfort when mum, oh, it's okay. I love seeing mums soothe their little ones and dads. It's so beautiful. Listen to what God says. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And you will be comforted in Jerusalem. Isn't that beautiful? I will comfort you. I will. I get it. It's hard here. Jesus had a tough time. He says, I will comfort you. Isaiah 51:12 says, I am he who comforts you. He repeats it. I will comfort you. He repeats it. Even me. Imagine that, me, God. I am the God of all comfort, and I will comfort you. He says he will comfort Zion. The Bible says he will comfort all her waste places, all the places in your life that are ruined, waste places that are desolate, maybe decayed, maybe parts of your body, or your home, or your life, or your marriage, or relationships that are ruined. God says, I'm going to comfort those places, those worst places. That's a promise. Psalm 71:21, you will increase my greatness and comfort me on every side, in every place. It's just, there's actually a lot of verses, Old Testament and New Testament, about God's comfort. And I just really want to repeat that until you get a revelation that he comforts you because he loves you It's a cruel mother that sees the child fall over and hurt themselves and start crying, maybe blood and all that, and goes, whatever, get over it. You would just go, whoa, that's a bit tough. Come on, mum. I don't know if I've ever even seen that. It's just instinctive for mums to just gather them, love them. It's like, it's okay. And they don't go, well, you don't really deserve comfort, do you? Like, you know you deserve this. You've been naughty, you've done the wrong thing, and so, sorry. It's not like that. A mother comforts a child because they love them. They don't question whether they're worthy of comfort, whether they've been good enough. Probably not. Most kids aren't always good, but they get comfort anyway. And God wants to comfort us. He wants to comfort those places that are bad, the worst parts of our life, maybe the parts that only He knows about. He wants to come in and comfort those places. He's very good. So I just want to look at some of the ways that He comforts us. And one of the main ways is by giving us a comforter. The Bible says, Jesus said, it's good that I'm going, because then the Holy Spirit, the comforter, is one of the ways of translating that word, parakletos, Holy Spirit, the comforter. I'll give Him to you. So he's right here with us. And that's one of His names, parakletos, the comforter. Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. So there it is again. We need to just know that we need that comfort. We just need to cry out and say, God, I am sad. I need comfort. Because parakletos means called near. Para is near, and kletos means to call. So it's just, if we call to Him, it's like, I'm right here. I want to answer you. I want to comfort you. A comforter is someone who's close, right? Someone who's hugging you. He's loving you, and He's right here with us. So He comforts us with His Holy Spirit and His presence. And we need to really have a sense of that relationship with Him. We need to make sure that the first thing, we've asked God to be our Lord. We've asked Him into our life. We've got the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We need a real and personal relationship with Him. Because if He's distant, it'll be hard for us to realize He wants to comfort us. He's still offering the comfort, but we're like busy doing other things. So I asked a lot of people, how do you receive comfort? A lot of mature Christians. And they all said the same thing. It was amazing. Two main things. And the first one was His presence. Everyone spoke about His just being with Him, whether it was through prayer or worship or waiting on Him. It was His presence, Him, actually learning to connect with Him, which I know is a learned thing when we're young. It's a bit hard. When I was a young Christian, I was like, it was harder. But as we get to know Him, we become aware of Him. Maybe you can feel it when you worship here and just focus on Him and shut your eyes and be aware of His presence. I have a lady who I spoke to recently about this, and she shared her story. When she was young, a young girl, she was in a car with her mother, her two sisters, and a brother. And I don't know, and neither does she, whether the mother was okay. Maybe she wasn't okay. She was driving the car, and they came to a railway crossing, and somehow she got stuck on the railway crossing. It was out in the countryside, and this is a while ago, so it wasn't obviously very smooth. I don't know what happened, but they were stuck on the train crossing. And sure enough, she said she was freaking out, but they saw a train coming, and the train hit the car. And my friend was thrown out of the car and survived. But one brother and one sister died, and the other sister and her mother had brain damage, severely brain damaged. And so basically she lost most of her family. The dad wasn't in the car. And I said, whoa, how did you deal with that? She goes, I just buried it. She said, I had no idea how to deal with it. She was only little. But she said that what happened was, she gave her life to Jesus. When she was older, as a teenager, she got born again. And she said she just went to him, and that buried trauma. And sometimes the comfort that we need is from the past. It's you know, because God wants to deal with it. And she said it came up, and she said, I just began to understand how much he loved me. She said, he knows the depths of what we've been through. His compassion is so deep. She said this, he is near. He's not aloof. He's not distant. God can comfort all our dark places, all the buried trauma. And so she said that she would just worship him and be aware of how good he was. And she just said she felt him heal that trauma in the past. She said peace came. And so she's able to talk about it now. You know, it's still sad. She said it still comes up sometimes. It's not like, you know, it's not like that ever completely goes away in the sense that she remembers it, but it's not traumatic because God comforted her. I have another friend who went through a time of rejection and abandonment, and we've all been through that, haven't we? That's horrible. When, you know, has anyone ever been ghosted? You know, I've been ghosted, and you had someone you thought you were really close, and then you try to ring them, like they just never seem to answer, and they never think, and you realize, oh, they don't want to talk to me anymore. It's like, oh, and you want to sort of say, you know, if I've done something, just tell me. I'll say sorry. I'm sorry. Did I upset you? It's the worst. You don't even know what you've done. That's terrible thing. Don't anyone ever do that. If you don't want to talk to someone, just find a way to do it nicely, but don't just ghost them like that. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's even a husband or a wife who's left you. That's horrible. But this friend of mine had the same thing. She went through a time of rejection and abandonment, and she said, I would just worship God. She says, I would lie prostrate on the floor, and what she did was meditate on his love. She meditated on that he loved her. She said, I thought about the price that Jesus paid. He cried out, when he was on the cross, he was totally rejected and abandoned by everyone and by God, because he had to turn away because Jesus had all the sin, our sin and all our horror on the cross. He took it all. So even God had to move away in judgment for our sin, not Jesus' sin. And listen to this. This is her rev, not mine. It's a good one though. He always called Jesus Father. Jesus always called God Father, but not at that moment. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, such rejection. He was rejected so we can't be rejected. He was abandoned so that we don't need to be abandoned. If you ever feel like you've been abandoned by people, welcome to the club. So have we all. Some of you worse than others. But I tell you what, you are worthy to be chosen. You are worthy to be close, and God will never abandon you. And if God wants you, anyone else who rejects you, that's on them, whatever. But God wants you. God has chosen you. God wants to comfort you. He wants to draw you closer. If other people are saying that, oh, I'm not interested in you anymore, God's like, I am. Like, who cares if you've got the God of all the universe, the most beautiful, wonderful person of all time who wants you, it doesn't matter so much if there's others that reject you. You can know that you are loved and chosen. And that's what God says. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and the son of man who will be made like grass? Isaiah 51:12. He literally says that. I'm comforting you. Why worry about people that die? They're going to die. Why worry about people who are made like grass? They'll soon be gone, but God is on our side. So he comforts us with his very presence, and that's something we need to learn, how to come into his presence, how to be still for a while, put aside some time, play the guitar if you play the guitar, play a bit of music, but just play nothing, just be still. And know he's God, and just know that he's come, he's there. Learn to access his presence. It's very lovely. I really pray that everyone in this church knows what it is to be still before God and to sense his presence. Really pray that. So the second thing that pretty much everyone I spoke to said, he comforts us with his very presence, and he comforts us with his word. Psalm 119:49, this is my comfort in affliction, that your promise has given me life. So he brings the word of God into our dark places, and things can shift. It's hard for us to understand the power of his word. Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. We need to take a scripture and meditate on it so much, just one verse, over and over until it goes into our heart and comforts us, whatever it might be. I love, I often have John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but as I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. One of my friend that had those issues, that lost her family, she used to meditate on Romans 8:28, which is a classic. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So what you need to do is get a scripture like that, and you have to just meditate. You have to go over it and over it. This is also a skill. It's a skill to not just read the Bible like, read through two chapters. That's okay sometimes, but that's way too much for comfort, because then your brain's activating, going, what's happening? What does this all mean? Just one verse. Take that verse and just go, all things. God, even this. Talk to him about it. Even can this work together for good? He's like, yeah, even this. All things work together. So somehow it's going to come together with everything else. Yes, for good. You want this for good, but it's so bad, God. It's like, I know. I'll make it good. I'll work it. I'll find goodness. See, even just as I'm just doing this. That's what you do. You just, because when you read a Bible verse, there's the word of God. It's got to travel from your iPad or your paper Bible or whatever. It's got to go to your eyes. And then it's got to go into your brain. So that's, what's that, a little bit, a few inches. That can take a while, just understanding it sometimes. What does that even mean? Sometimes I get a verse, I look it up in every version, ESV, New King James, NIV. Let's go to the Living Bible for simplicity. The Passion for, okay, I don't think it says that, but that's okay. It's fresh. I like it, you know, I like it. The Message, wow, okay, that's a completely new one. But I just, and then what about the Greek? Just that takes a while. To understand it, that's a journey, that one verse. But I'm telling you, the big journey, the big one, is from your brain to your heart. That takes a long time. You can read a verse, I'm telling you, you can read a verse, maybe you, even Romans 8:28. Maybe you've been reading that verse for 20 years and it still hasn't got into your heart. It can take a long time. So we need to really allow the truth of these words to get into our heart. I am he who comforts you. And I can hear you going, it's not good, I don't feel comfortable. It's like, he wants to comfort you. Yeah, no, you don't understand, it's so hard for me. Wait. Can you see? Can you see how we fight against the word, how it's in our ears maybe, it hasn't quite reached the brain, but it's nowhere near the heart? For the word to comfort you, you've got to let it get to your heart. We've got to believe it. Hannah Whittle Smith says this, it's pure and simple unbelief that is at the bottom of all our lack of comfort and absolutely nothing else. So if we're not feeling comforted, it's because we don't believe all those scriptures that I've just read to you. We just don't believe it. We don't feel that God really is comforting us. We feel alone, or we feel like it's my stuff is harder, I don't know. God comforts us on every side. If we want to be comforted, we must make up our minds to believe every single solitary word of comfort God has ever spoken. And we must utterly refuse to listen to any words of discomfort spoken by our own hearts or by our circumstances. So we've got to look at those verses where it says, that you blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And as a mother comforts her child, I will comfort you. And we have to believe that. And if you don't believe it, it's not in your heart. Meditate on it longer. Think about it. Write it down. Put it on your fridge. Do whatever it takes. Get into that verse until you believe it and until it travels into your heart and you really feel comforted because you believe it. And don't unbelieve it. Don't go, yeah, but this is harder, or, well, it's harder for me. Or that's unbelief. That's discouragement saying, no, it's different for you. Or of course, you know, I've got an issue. People these days just tell me, oh, well, I've got this condition, so I can't. It's like, no, what? God can heal that. God's more powerful than any condition that you have, or medical imbalance, or all that. That's not a problem for God. His comfort is stronger than that. So those are the two main areas of comfort: just being in His presence and allowing His word to comfort us. Two main areas. But there's other things. So let's have a little look at some of those things. He comforts us with His people. Yay! 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Paul says, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. So it's lovely to ring a friend or talk to someone and we can be comforted. We can be comforted by just calling someone. Just someone says the right thing, or a smile or a hug. That's why we come to church sometimes, just to feel a bit better. Sometimes when we're home alone we can feel a bit down and just feel better just coming here. And just you see a couple of people, you think, oh, look, they're nice. I like them. And you feel better. But I just want to stress this. Even though that's absolutely true, there's got to be godly comfort. Like the more anointed someone is, the more they can comfort us. So we can get help from people, but make sure it's godly help and wise help. And I found it interesting that when I spoke to everyone and I spoke to several mature Christians, they never mentioned other people. I just found it interesting. Said, what comforts you when you feel sad? And they all said, well, basically just worshipping or scripture. And some of them told me the scripture. And not one of them said another person. Now, these are mature Christians. And I thought, I know that they have been comforted. I personally comforted some of these people. So, you know, I've done my best. But they never mentioned that. And why is that? Because people fall short. It's not going to be enough. I'm sorry, but it's not. So even though I'm saying, yeah, get comforted by each other and please do comfort each other, I'm telling you now it won't be enough. And the Bible's quite clear about this. Psalm 60 verse 11. God, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. That is a Bible verse. And not only is it there once, it's there twice. You can see it's Psalm 108 verse 12. It's also Psalm 60 verse 11. The help of man is useless. Which is really interesting, because while people can comfort us, they're just not there all the time, are they? They're just not there. I mean, how often can you ring a friend? It's like, you know, they're busy. But I need help right now in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock. I'm not ringing anyone now, please. You know, generally. You know what I'm saying? So even the best of person, they cannot be there all the time. Even the best of people, they don't know you. They don't know all the stuff you've gone through. They don't get it always. They don't understand what it's like. So, but God understands. I talked to some wives. Have you ever shared with your husband your problem, women? You've let them know. And what have you got? Well, there's silent face. Silent face is a guy going, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I don't want to say the wrong thing, so I won't say anything. Not very helpful. And you're like, I've literally said, my darling husband, you can comfort me now. Like, say something. She can get silent space. Or what about Mr. Fix-It? What? Well, what you got to do? You just got to do this. No problem. Okay, we good? Bye. Bye. It's like, great. Great. Just quit the job then. If you don't like the job, quit it. It's like, what? Oh, well, if she's that mean to you, just get a new friend. It's like, what are you talking about? I'm not saying I want to ditch all my... Like, I'm not having to go against the men, but just sometimes the comfort levels are a little low in some of our lovely husbands or men folk. Much as we are, all the women are smiling. They're all giving me that, knowing, like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. But women, sometimes the men... I see men... The thing with men is they don't even realise they're not being comforted sometimes. They don't realize, some of you men, there are women out there and they are all scratchy, complaining, negative. They never encourage you. They never make you feel better. I can tell. I can hear what they say. Like, oh, it's just so, there's no respect. There's no respect. And a lot of men don't realize that they're not being comforted, but they're not. And they just don't know why. They feel like grumpy. So look, get comfort from your friends and your family by all means, but know this, that when God says, I am he who comforts you, ultimately we're all going to have to learn to go to God for comfort, because he's really going to be the only one that satisfies us. And he is the God of all comfort. So if anyone does comfort us, it's only because they are ministering through the Holy Spirit anyway. They have learnt to minister to you. So he does comfort us with his people. He comforts us with green pastures. He is our shepherd. Psalm 23:2-3, he makes me lie down. Can I just say, by the way, that's just the English construction of the Hebrew word. He doesn't make us. It's more like he lays me down. Just putting it out there, because I've heard whole messages on he makes me lie down. It's like, no. He lays me down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That's beautiful. There's comfort. But, you know, green pastures there, when we're using the sheep analogy, it's actually food for sheep. Sheep eat food. So God can use all kinds of ways to comfort us, and he does. Honestly, sometimes you just need one of John McDonald's hot chocolates. They comfort me sometimes. I'm like, oh, especially the way he makes it. I like it strong. I like dark chocolate. And the other day, I just always say, make it strong. I find all the coffee shops and that. It's not strong enough. It's just not strong enough. I actually saw John make me my hot chocolate. Apparently, it's a special hot chocolate. And I watched him. He just like got the whole jug. Was like, dunk, dunk. I'm like, do you put that much in? He goes, yeah, that's how you like it. I went, really? He goes, yeah. And then I tasted and I went, oh boy. I use half the tin just on me. But so look. There are places and physical comforts that are okay for comfort. It's okay to enjoy a bit of chocolate. It's okay to have a lovely meal with friends. Green pastures, it's a place too. He leads me beside still waters. One person said, oh, this is how I comfort myself. I get a coffee, I snuggle up, I clean my bedroom, shut the door, and I just, good book. And I feel comforted. This is what my husband said. Now, these are secondary things, okay? This is not, our primary comfort must be God, but Chris, he says, just go for a run. Feel so much better. You flood the body with endorphins or ride a motorbike. And I went, that's so sweet. Classic male comfort. This does not comfort me, but go for a run. Can you imagine? Oh my goodness, that would literally be the last thing on my list of ways to comfort me. I know, I just go for a run. I just love getting out there and feeling terrible and unfit and cold, and I do get a slight sense of virtue when I finally get back, but I'm not a natural runner. But I just want to say this, that these areas of comfort are risky. Remember, number one is God himself, God's word, God's presence, because indulgence is not comfort. Indulgence is the opposite of comfort. It can lead to abuse, substance abuse, and incredible depression. So God, it says he leads me beside still waters. So there's a leading where God might allow us those things, but if those things become our main source of comfort, then we've got a problem. And in fact, if you have that problem where you know that food, alcohol, screens, whatever is your main source of comfort, then it's addictive. It's a problem. And God's got to actually take that comfort away from you or help you to deal with it. So just remember, indulgence is no comfort. These measures are secondary. And the other thing that's not a comfort is distraction. Some people get through life by just distracting themselves. They're just delaying dealing with the issue. They're just shoving it under the carpet until eventually they trip over the carpet because there's so much stuff under the carpet. That's distraction. That's not comfort. People say, I'm fine. It's like, are you though? We get to really bring our issues to God. He will genuinely bring peace to them and genuinely show us how it's working for good in our life. It's very different from just avoidance and distraction. So, you know, just allow him to lead you however he leads you. And it's different for everyone. He's so lovely how he likes to comfort us. I I went for a walk with Linda the other day, and we walked along the lakeside at Chitaway Bay. And then we came to a jetty. I went, oh, I love a jetty. Don't you love those jetties that go right out into the lake? And it was still, so still. So we went out to the end of the jetty, and then we prayed. We had a great time, just prayed. It was lovely. And then we walked back, and then we walked around a little bit further. About 5 minutes after we prayed, we just went, oh, because there was the most beautiful rainbow that I have ever seen in my life. It was from the bottom to the bottom, lake to lake, and it was stunning colour, and it was a total, we were just like, oh. And we just knew that God had given us this rainbow. We just knew it. We just prayed and there it was, his promise of goodness and mercy and looking after us. And we felt so confident and blessed. And there's, you know, God, I just know God gave us that lovely rainbow, and God wants to bless you with his comfort. And I don't know what comforts you. Maybe it's a great motorbike trail or a rainbow or a bird. I get comforted by birds, but that God is going to find ways to comfort you with his presence, with his word primarily, but just other things, and be open to that. Make sure you don't just sit at home. And like, I was sitting at home feeling like a bit blur. I thought, you know, when it's, these days it's like 4 o'clock, you think, oh, what time? It must be 6 o'clock. And it's 4 o'clock. You go, oh, wow, it's, we got, so just get out into the nature, get out and go and let God speak to you. Go do something, you know, go for a walk and God, and be aware that God wants to love you and be open to that. So we've just got to allow God to comfort us. Know that he wants to and allow him to. And then get on with life. Because one person said, and it's true, sometimes just the regular rhythms of life is comforting. We just get up, go to work, cook the dinner, just keep moving forward and we find comfort. And then just to finish off, and you noticed in those, that scripture early on, it said how God is the God, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And then he said, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble. We are comforted. If he said, if we're comforted, it's for you. So there is the goodness of what we've been through. There is things working together for good. And we know, some of us know of Joyce Meyer, who was abused as a child and has this amazing ministry of, she says, I turned my pain into purpose. She's ministers to millions of people because God comforted her, so she's able to comfort others. And so in all of this, it's not even just about us. It makes me feel better to know that God's comforting me when I'm sad or down, or if there's significant trauma or what, at rejection. He comforts me, but it's not just for me. I need to get comforted, not just so that I, oh, great, I feel great now, but God's going to use the comfort that he gives me, and now I can comfort others and I can bless others. I can make a difference so that what I've been through has purpose. It wasn't just meaningless, all that suffering. There was a reason, because this is a tough life. But I know how to access God's comfort. So now I can help you. I can help others. And then that's a blessing in itself.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.